Step of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Desiree and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience and awakening, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked Kim to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hello, everyone. Kim Alcoholic. So the 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation as to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Kim. Today, we will hear a talk on steps 8 and 9. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make an amends to them. And step 9, make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Please give a warm welcome to Patrice from Boston, Massachusetts. Welcome, Patrice. Thank you for being here.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I could unmute myself. Hi, everyone. I'm Patrice. I'm an alcoholic. Did I do that? Oh, okay. Is there any way to get me unpinned? Thank you. All right. Okay. So hi, everyone. Patrice Alcoholic. So let's get started here. I do like to kind of make it personal. So I'm going to discuss steps 8 and 9 today. And I will add to it my own personal history on on AA and eight on 8 and 9 and how I went through the process. So I will try to incorporate that as I share. Okay, so step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. I did not want to do this step. So I made the list already. So we made our list back at step 4, right? We hold on to that list because some of the people on that list may not, for me, it wasn't everybody, because some of the things on there, I automatically forgave people for. I guess in my level of maturity, even with my head being more like a 12-year-old, it's still possible for me to forgive people. And I think that a big part of step 8 is forgiveness. It really, really is. Because if we hold on to the people that are on the list, we're not gonna start to heal. So it says here in the big book, I'm gonna quote from the big book and from the 12 and 12. So step 8, I have so many things to share. All right. Do-do-do. Okay. So step 8 says that we're ready to make a list of all persons we had harmed. But the prayer for step 8 says, God help me to become willing to sweep away the debris of self-will and self-reliant living. Thy will be done for this person as well as for me. I think that's really, really pretty how they pose that. And it's more approachable to even want to continue with the list of people and move on to step 9. So it says here, if we cannot or would rather do not do this, we search our acquaintance for a closed mouth, understanding friend. Perhaps our doctor or psychologist will be the person. It may be one of our own family, but we cannot disclose anything to our wives or parents, which will hurt them and make them unhappy. I mean, only us as individuals know the people that we really hurt. We know when we hurt someone. Even in our drunken state of mind, I feel that we know subconsciously that we've hurt people, right? So the ones that I chose to put on my list for amends are the people that surround me. I was a lonely alcoholic. I didn't really go out much. I didn't really make any public appearances with my alcoholism. I tried very much to keep that under wraps, but when at home, I was a hot mess. Just, I was like the beast within, barging through my parents' doors. And, my father would go downstairs, his man cave. My mother went upstairs to her bedroom, and they shut their doors. And my poor son, I have 2 children. My poor son, he was still in high school at the time, and I terrorized this poor kid. I really did. He was the kid. He's the child that I had prematurely, that I nurtured. I mean, I couldn't even take my eyes off of him when he was born. And as he got older, he became like my ride or die. He sat next to me in the front seat of the car, and we would sing and make all these gestures in the car, having a good time. And my daughter would be in the back seat. Oh my God, you guys are embarrassing me. And so that was like our three-person dynamic. I destroyed that. When my daughter graduated from high school, she took off and to go live with her grandparents, my ex-mother and father-in-law. And she said she was just going there because she graduated and she wanted to just take 2 weeks off before we started doing the whole college thing. Well, she never came back, and she hasn't been back even to this day. And my sobriety date is March 29th of 2017. So I just recently celebrated 6 years of continuous sobriety, and I'm truly, truly proud of that. I've worked really, really hard to change my thinking, to change my thought process, to change who I and become who I really want to be, the person that I dreamt about for many, many years. Part of her was able to live, the rest of her stayed inside, full of fear of being her. So it's weird talking in the third person, but there really is like another person inside of me, a little girl that still lives. She's still alive in me. I never want her to die, but I don't really want her to live. I want to live. So it says here, for me, my doctor from at Tufts, she's been my medical doctor for 27 years now. There's nothing about me that that woman doesn't know. Would leave Norwood, and for those that live in Massachusetts, they know what I'm talking about. I would leave Norwood. It's about a half an hour drive into Boston, and I would go see her, sit in traffic, and I would drink to oblivion on the way there. And when I got to her, she would offer me her office. She would want me to get sober before I left. She is one of the people. She's actually on my list. I gave her my 1 year medallion because if anybody deserved that as much as me, she did. But I still owe her an apology for showing up at her place, and her place of business, showing up there drunk out of my mind day after day sometimes. I need to really truly thank her. I know I did. I know she loves me, as a professional. She's always been supportive of me. So the times that I went in, drunk out of my mind, probably being really obnoxious sometimes, she still just blindly took care of me. And that's truly amazing. It brings tears to me, my heart and my eyes, because she loved me when no one else would. So that's who that was hard. All right. So I'm gonna jump over to the 12 and 12. And I'm not ashamed to cry today. It's just I don't want to cry right now. I want to just kind of share with you guys how I did this process. So step 8 and 9, in the 12 and 12, it starts off on step 8. Steps 8 and 9 are concerned with personal relations. First, we take a look back and try to discover where we had been at fault. Next, we make a vigorous attempt to repair the damage we have done. And third, having thus cleaned away the debris of the past, we consider how, with our newfound knowledge of ourselves, we may develop the best possible relations with every human being we know. And for me, that means every human being that I know and the ones that I don't know. This program is so set up for us to walk away after we've done the 12 steps and say hi to a stranger. Oh, I can get that for you. Helping out another human being. Because when we were down and out, the responsibility statement tells us that, we reach out, we stretch our hand out for the next sick and suffering because we are responsible, because there was a hand stretched out for us when we got here. And for some of us before we got here. This is a very large order. It is a task which we may perform with increasing skill. So it's not like, bam, I know what I'm doing. I have my list. I'm ready to make amends. No. It goes on to say, but never really finish. Learning how to live in the greatest peace, partnership, and brotherhood with all men and women of whatever description is a moving and fascinating adventure. Absolutely. I'm really enjoying this process, believe it or not. I don't like everything about it because I have to look at me, but I do appreciate how these steps are written. I have so much respect for this program. I didn't know I was even capable of that. I mean, this process has been going on, it'll be 87 years on June 10th? I'm not sure. Is it June 10th? No, that's Founders Day. It says, but now the time has come when he ought to redouble his efforts to see how many people he has hurt and in what ways. So I go back to my list that I made For the step four. And I look at those people like I'm not gonna make amends to in first grade. This kid was chasing me around and I fell and I hit my head and I had a big tennis ball on my head. He was on my list. He's gone off my list. He's been a part of my life forever and a day. He's someone I went to high school. I've known him since the first grade. And he's very supportive of my life, always has been. So it was very easy for me to get rid of people like that, take them off my list permanently, and never look back. Find the forgiveness that I need to satisfy my soul in order to move forward. So some of the people that were on my list, like I said before, were very easy to forgive, and just X them off the list. Then it says here, the first and one of the most difficult has to do with forgiveness, like I talked about. The moment we ponder a twisted or broken relationship with another person, our emotions go on the defense. To escape looking at the wrongs we have done another, we resentfully focus on the wrongs he has done to us. So, you know that phrase, when you're pointing your finger, there's three pointing back at you. I choose not to continue to point my finger at people. I want to own my stuff today. I don't want to keep doing it. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. I had to be taught it. My sponsor she had to really like knock that into my head that I play a part in every part of my life. Even if I'm in the right, I still played a part. When I'm in the wrong, I still played a part. When I was by myself and hurting myself, I played a part. Right here, we need to fetch ourselves up sharply. It doesn't make much sense when a real tosspot calls a kettle black. Let's remember that alcoholics are not the only ones bedeviled by sick emotions. So, 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 so true. My family is a pure example of that. You know, the one relationship that I strive for pretty much on a daily basis is to have a better relationship with my mother. It does not work. The more I walk towards her, the more her defenses go up, the more she treats me like crap. Sometimes it's hard for me to say good morning to her because I might get a grunt. I might. And then other days she throws me off when she's so nice to me. But I've learned to just embrace those moments and leave the rest. I still struggle with that on a daily basis. I fight it because I want to have a really loving relationship with my mother. Most recently, I'll share this. No, I'll wait for step nine because it's really good. I'll wait. Right here. Oh, okay. Moreover, it is really a fact that our behavior when drinking has aggravated the defects of others. How true is that? So I will always use my mother as the greatest example for me. Because honestly, the relationship I have with my children, there are times where I just have to be their mother. I'm not their friend. I have to be their mother. It was really hard for me to understand that. But I've always been direct with my children. I've always been honest with them. So my relationship with them has gotten a little bit easier to walk through, I would say. And I'll save my happy story as I talk about step nine. So now that we've made our list, it says here at the end of step eight, excuse me, having carefully surveyed this whole area of human relations and having decided exactly what personality traits in us injured and disturbed others, we can now commence to ransack memory for the people to whom we have given offense. To put a finger on the nearby and most deeply damaged ones shouldn't be too hard. Like I said, we know who we hurt. We know the damage that we've done. It's a matter of wanting to face it, wanting to own it, and take responsibility for our actions. We should, of course, ponder and weigh each instance carefully. We shall want to hold ourselves to the course of admitting the things we have done, meanwhile forgiving the wrongs done us, real or fancied. Some of these ideas, you know, feelings aren't facts. So some of these ideas that we've put into our head while in live addiction, I like to call it, we did some really bad things, not just to people, but places and to things. You know, don't forget about the jobs, the grocery stores. For me, sometimes at the gas station, if, you know, if you looked at me the wrong way, it was like, who, you know the phrase, what the are you looking at? I did that. I remember doing it. I have flashes of it because I'm a blackout drinker, of like really attacking this gentleman, and he was just trying to help me. If I ever bump into that man again, I know that I will immediately apologize to him. He's probably someone that lives in my town. So now that we've made our list, whenever our pencils falter, we can fortify and cheer ourselves by remembering that AA experience in this step has meant to what it has meant to others. It is the beginning of the end of isolation for our fellows and from God. Amen. It is the beginning of us finally turning our cameras on and owning our life. And when I say that, because we're on Zoom, but when you're in a live meeting, being able to look someone in the eye, even someone you didn't hurt, and be capable of saying, hi, how you doing today? You have yourself a nice day. It was very hard for me to do because I knew how I felt on the inside. I still wasn't, I still didn't even like myself enough to put my head up. So now that we've made our list, it's time to start making those amends, right? So step 9, at the top of my 12 and 12, I have always take God with you. You guys can't see it, but it's written in big, bold letters, always take God with you. My sponsor told me to write that down. Now I know what it means. Made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. There are people on my list today that I can make a direct amends to. There are people on my list that are no longer with us. There are people on my list that I don't want to make amends to. But I also know that if I don't make that amends today, or find the forgiveness in my heart for the people that did hurt me, I'm the one that's going to suffer. I'm the one who stays in my room crying at night, laying in the bed, not eating. They're not the ones doing that. So it gives me, that's like a clear indicator to me that I'm not done yet. There are still people that I need to talk to. I need to, you know, approach them and see if they're willing to hear me out so that I can listen to them as they talk to me about the pain that I caused them. So it says here, there will be those who ought to be dealt with just as soon as we can become reasonably confident. I love that, reasonably confident, that we can maintain our sobriety. There will be those to whom we can make only partial restitution, lest complete disclosures do them or others more harm than good. So I'm not going to go and tell, one of the examples I heard is, I'm not going to go tell the married man that I'm not going to go apologize to his wife for sleeping with her husband. How crazy does that sound when you say it out loud? But what I can do is never have relations with a married man, respect the sanctity of someone else's marriage. I thought that was pretty powerful. It's not my example, but it is an example that I hold dear to because I was cheated on when I was married. My ex-husband, he slept with everybody, and it included me as well. And, you know, I knew that and I accepted it. And it hurt like hell every single day that I stayed married to him. But then another one came along And she gladly, or at the time it wasn't glad, I was totally devastated. But today I'm pretty okay with her taking him. She could have him. I'm all right with that. He wasn't for me. My sponsor had to let me know that he wasn't for me. Because if he was, he'd stick around. He'd walk this walk with me. And that's how I think love should be. You walk through the good times and you appreciate the bad times because it makes your relationship stronger. So for me, if I want to have these relationships with the people that I hurt, some of them are living amends. My children, it's a living amends every single day that I'm with them. Most of us begin making certain kinds of direct amends from the day we join Alcoholics Anonymous. For me, and I've heard this story, I think it's pretty funny. I think we've all done it. I'm sober now, day one. I'm sorry for hurting you. They don't want to hear it. When you get that door slammed in your face, you're like, they're not ready. And I wasn't ready yet. I didn't even have my head together to say anything. My mother looked at me one day and she was like, "Don't you remember saying that?" And I'm sitting here trying to recollect. Nothing came to mind. And she's looking at me like, "How could you not remember that you did that? How do I explain to her that I'm a blackout drinker? I don't know how to do that yet. I do today." So when I tried making amends in the beginning, it was a nightmare on Ledgeview Drive. Excuse me. I'm getting over a really bad cold, so I apologize for the various coughs. As soon as we begin to feel confident in our new way of life and have begun by our behavior and example to convince those about us that we are indeed changing for the better, it is usually safe to talk to complete frankness with those who have been seriously affected, even those who may be only a little or not at all aware of what we have done to them. So for me, I know that there are people that I've hurt when I walked into the store, the grocery store, the car wash, going to the doctor's office. I know I disturbed other people. Some of them I don't even know. The places that I stole from, I got a thrill out of stealing. It wasn't because I needed it, but I was so curious. Wow, I think I could slip this in here real quick. And when I would slip it in there and I was able to walk out the store, I'd be like, "Oh my God, I thought that was a good thing, ladies and gents. I thought I was being cool," like doing stuff like that. Like, yeah, I got away with it. So there goes my stinking thinking, I thought that was okay. It really wasn't. After taking this preliminary trial of making amends, we may enjoy such a sense of relief that we conclude our task is finished. So, the people that forgave me, "Oh, Patrice, I'm just really glad you're in a program. I'm glad that you're sober today. I love you when you're sober. I didn't like you when you were drinking." I haven't had that said to me yet. Like I said, I was a lonely alcoholic. The only people I terrorized around here was my family. Some of my cousins, I would reach out to them when they came down here because I'm pretty close to quite a few of my cousins. And they didn't even have a clue that that was going on with me. It was really hard for me to explain to them that I hated my own life, that I wanted nothing to do with anybody, and that I struggle to allow myself to let people in. I don't trust a lot of people. I can count on one hand the people that I trust in my life today. And that is a character defect and an asset for me. It is both. It says, I wrote here, "My amends towards my family has begun. It started with a living amends." And yes, every day that I show up for life sober, I'm making a living amends to people, places, and institutions. I can walk into the grocery store today. If someone looks at me sideways because they're having a bad day, I don't have to pay attention to it today, and I don't. I don't want to hate on people. I don't want to be mad because somebody looked at me. Instead, if they look at me too hard, I just say hi. Before I, I would ask them, what are you looking at? Today, I can say hi. Here are some questions I wrote because I also went through the process of an AWOL. For those that don't know what that is, it's another way of life where we went through the big book and the 12 and 12. It was so awesome. I learned a lot of history about AA. My respect for this program grew because of that AWOL. But I asked myself a few questions. How do I approach family and apologize for taking charge of them? Because I did. I took charge. And unwillingly and unknowingly, I took charge every time I walked in this house drunk. How do I apologize to myself for robbing me of a life? I'll be 51 years old at the end of this month, and I got sober at the age of 44. And I thought that it was too late for me. I did not want to do this process. I just said, screw it. I don't need to get sober. I'm too old. Today I can appreciate folks that the youngsters that come in at 20 and 21 trying to get this program. I can only imagine what their life was like up until that point to be so young and be so tortured. Today I can love on and appreciate people that come in early. And I damn sure can appreciate the men and women that come into this program older than me for the very first time. This is not hard, it's very hard to admit, but today I want to have a life that is worth living. And that includes holding my head up, forgiving myself for my past wrongdoings, and allowing myself the freedom to be okay with life, to be okay with the people that I have harmed, knowing that I am working towards making amends with each and every one of them. To step nine, because I don't really like talking, I don't want to read the book verbatim, but it does says, do we, this is the end of step nine and the 12 and 12 on page 86. It says, do we instantly confess our irregularities to the firm in the practical certainty that we will be fired and become unemployable. When it comes to institutions, there are certain things like if it mean if you're outing someone and it means possible criminal conviction, how do we do that? How do we process that? I have a girlfriend that after she got sober, she went and made an amends. They had to take her in because she had some warrants. But she went to jail and AA showed up for her. We showed up for her. We showed up in court. And she got probation. She's on probation. But, she was already a year sober when she got pulled over and they arrested her. And she served her 7 days in there. And it took about a week to get her out. But she did it. She had held her head up high. And today she'll be celebrating 4 years of continuous sobriety in September. This program is so awesome. So at the end here it says, for the readiness to take the full consequences of our past acts and to take responsibility for the well-being of others at the same time, it is the very spirit of step nine. And I am grateful for that. So here's my cutesy story. I have 19 seconds. So it says here, I was on the phone with Rosa, who's in the room today. We were video chatting, and I had pushed my son, and when I pushed him when he was like 14 or so, I can't remember. Okay, that's my timer. I pushed him, and he hit the what do you call it? The rim of the door, whatever those little pieces of pretty wood. He hit that. He had a knot on his head. He went to school, and there are people that are mandated by the state. So DCF services came into my life. But I couldn't recall everything that happened that day And my son was like, yeah, you did this and you did that, blah, blah, blah. And as he's saying, describing it to me, I'm like going down, I'm going down, I'm losing it. And Rosa says to me, Patricia, but you're not that person anymore. And my son turns around and he's like, no, you're not. Not even close. He's 22. So if it took 6 years to hear that, it might take six more years to hear my daughter say that. But that's okay today. As long as I continue to work this program, stretch my hand out to another alcoholic, keep in touch with my sponsors, keep in touch with my tribe, even when I don't want to. Be support, excuse me, be supportive of others. My best friend, I love her to death. She's probably in class right now. She's working. Oh, there she is. I see her. She's on her way to class. I'm so proud of her. She's come such a long way. Those are the things I get to appreciate in life today. And that same group of friends, we lost a really sweet loved one this year. This disease took her. And we had stopped that meeting and we said no. Because of her passing, we decided we wanted to bring that meeting back to life. And so we meet every Monday again. And it's so beautiful. It's like a family. So if you're in here today, if you're a newcomer, please stick and stay. This program is worth every part of your life. You deserve to have a life. You deserve to be loved. You deserve to be liked. I think some people, it's harder to be liked than to be loved. I know my mother loves me, but she does not like me. I hurt that woman really, really bad. But today, all I can do is continue to make a living amends to her and hope that someday I can have that loving relationship that I want with her. So we don't always get what we want, but we get what we need out of this program. So thank you so much, Sharon. I love you to death. Thank you so much for asking me to share. I was nervous as hell. But I truly appreciate being able and being capable of talking to you guys about how I went through this process. So thank you.